Tonight, news just coming in on the coronavirus here in the U.S., now soaring to record levels. More than 130,000 lives now lost. And Atlanta's mayor tonight just revealing she has tested positive. At least 9 states reporting record numbers of infections over the holiday weekend. Growing concern tonight about the huge crowds. Hundreds attending a massive lake party in Michigan. Miami-Dade tonight closing restaurants to indoor seating. Hospitalizations in Texas now at an all-time high. Arizona topping 100,000 cases. And that news from Atlanta's mayor saying just moments ago that COVID-19 has literally hit home. I have tested positive. Tonight, the man captured in that famous image escaping the collapse of the towers on 9/11 has died of the virus. And what Dr. Anthony Fauci warned about the virus in the U.S. today. And the toll on young people tonight. Several states, including North Carolina, reporting at least half of all patients are now under 50. And hundreds of scientists now urging the World Health Organization to address what they say is the airborne spread of the virus, arguing small particles linger in the air for longer periods of time than most people think, especially indoors. President Trump tonight asking, where is Bubba Wallace's apology? NASCAR's only full-time black driver after a noose was found in his garage. The president criticizing NASCAR for banning the Confederate flag. Bubba Wallace tonight responding to the president. At moments ago, NASCAR now responding too. The other major news this Monday night, staggering gun violence in the U.S. 77 people shot in Chicago, more than a dozen killed, more than 50 people shot in New York. An 8-year-old child killed in Atlanta, and Georgia's governor tonight now declaring a state of emergency. News tonight about Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's alleged co-conspirator, now behind bars here in New York City. What we've now learned. New developments in the case of a young soldier from Fort Hood killed in Texas. A suspect accused of helping the killer of Vanessa Guillen appearing in court today, and what prosecutors are now saying. Severe storms and flash flooding moving through the Northeast tonight. We have the new track on this. And remembering a country music legend.
This is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to be back with all of you at home. I hope you had a happy and safe 4th of July. There's been no shortage of news, and so we begin tonight with the coronavirus only worsening. New records set in several states, cases and hospitalizations, and that news just before we came on the air tonight. Atlanta's mayor saying it has hit close to home, literally, saying she has tested positive but has had no symptoms. And tonight, that sobering number, we have now surpassed 130,000 lives lost in the U.S. Tonight, cases in Florida have doubled in just 2 weeks, now topping 206,000 cases. Miami-Dade County tonight reversing course, now shutting down indoor dining, gyms, and vacation rentals after having reopened them. Hospitalizations in Texas reaching a new high, 18 people dying in the past 24 hours. Arizona now reaching 100,000 cases. California extending a ban on indoor dining, movie theaters, and museums to San Diego and 5 more counties tonight. And take a look. These are the images that have authorities concerned after the holiday, pointing to the alarming numbers involving young people, fears that those large gatherings seen across the country will fuel the spread. President Trump downplaying the outbreak, claiming, quote, 99% of the virus cases are totally harmless. He did not provide evidence for that number. And Dr. Anthony Fauci just today saying we are headed in the wrong direction, saying something needs to be done immediately. So a very busy Monday. We'll guide you through it all, and we begin here with our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman.
Tonight, those throngs slammed together in 4th of July parties across the country, cementing concern basic messaging like social distancing is not being followed. At this lake in Michigan, hundreds partying shoulder to shoulder and few masks in sight. And this packed concert inside an Atlanta nightclub. And to Nashville and Oakland, those crowds igniting fears the coronavirus is spreading faster and deeper into the country. In just the first 6 days of July, 250,000 new infections nationwide. Dr. Anthony Fauci today not mincing words.
The current state is really not good. It's a serious situation that we have to address immediately.
In Florida, new cases doubling over the past 2 weeks. Miami-Dade's mayor reversing course, closing restaurants and gyms. Stephen Cooper, seen here on the far left of this iconic photo, sprinting from the falling Twin Towers, surviving 9/11, only to die from COVID-19 in Florida. Dr. Nema Kabir is only in the second year of his residency, forced to the front lines in a Miami hospital.
We have colleagues who were testing positive and have to be quarantined, and so you know, the rest of us have to pick up the slack.
President Trump coming under fire for once again downplaying the virus, incorrectly attributing the surge in cases to increased testing.
Now we have tested almost 40 million people. By so doing, we show cases, 99% of which are totally harmless.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo today saying the president is enabling the pandemic.
What he's really saying is, if we didn't test, we wouldn't find the cases. So on that theory, let's do no more cancer tests, and that'll solve the problem with cancer. Mr. President, don't be a co-conspirator of COVID.
And presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's campaign saying in a statement the president is outright lying to the nation about the extreme threat of COVID-19. Tonight, the White House defending the president's comments.
The president was noting the fact that the vast majority of Americans who contract coronavirus will come out on the other side of this.
Nine states hitting new records for hospitalizations this weekend, including Texas. A record number of people hospitalized in Arizona, now one of eight states with more than 100,000 cases.
We see young people coming into the hospitals and saying, nobody told them that they would get sick. Young people do get sick. We've seen young people get sick, and we've seen young people even die.
In California, the governor shutting down indoor dining and bars in San Diego and five other counties and stepping up enforcement on businesses. One doctor warning tonight.
And if we all don't get our acts together, then there's really no place in the country that's going to be spared.
The warning is across the country tonight. Let's get right to Matt Gutman. And Matt, I want to get back to the news we learned just before we came on the air tonight. The mayor of Atlanta confirming she now has the virus.
David, she has confirmed that she has, in fact, been talked about as a possible vice presidential candidate. Now, she says she has felt no symptoms, but her husband slept from Thursday through the weekend. That's what prompted the family to get tested today. She said she and her family are still processing those positive results. David.
All right, Matt Gutman leading us off on a Monday. Matt, thank you. And tonight, the growing toll on the virus on young people in Florida. Most of the cases right now are young people, 21 years old. And in North Carolina tonight, more than half of all patients are under 50. And that push by hundreds of scientists and doctors tonight around the world, now asking the World Health Organization to explain how long this can last in the air, especially indoors. Here's Will Reeve.
Tonight, the virus and its new target. Cases in young people growing, potentially fueled by crowds like this in Missouri's Lake of the Ozarks. In North Carolina, 58% of infections are in ages 18 to 49. In Arizona, half the cases are in people 20 to 44. And here in Florida, the governor says the age with the most cases is 21.
Basically, you know, if you're under 40 and you don't have significant comorbidities, you know, the fatality rate for this is pretty close to zero.
Today, Dr. Anthony Fauci warning the young not to feel invulnerable.
Many young people may not necessarily get sick enough to go to the hospital, but they can get very sick.
31-year-old Kara Schiavo has been fighting COVID since March. Her doctors say she may now have asthma for life.
I also thought it was only really, you know, dangerous for the elderly. Until I got it. I exercised before this and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and it didn't matter how old I was.
And new concerns tonight about how the virus spreads. The WHO's current guidance says the virus is primarily spread by large droplets from coughs or sneezes. The CDC guidelines saying it spreads through close contact through those droplets when an infected person coughs, sneezes, or talks. But 239 scientists from 32 countries have prepared a letter urging the WHO to recognize the potential of the virus to spread through inhaling smaller airborne particles that can linger for longer periods of time, especially indoors.
David, some of those scientists who made those recommendations to the WHO are saying that people should be wearing masks even when they're socially distanced and even when they're indoors. David.
All right, ABC's Will Reeve. Will, thank you. The president, as you saw there at the top of the broadcast, downplaying the coronavirus over the weekend, saying 99% of the cases are harmless. Today, he appeared to try to shift attention back to NASCAR, the Confederate flag, and NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace, asking where is Bubba Wallace's apology after that noose was found in Wallace's garage? Well, tonight, Wallace is responding, and so is NASCAR. And here's our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
After back-to-back speeches this weekend where the president accused his political opponents of trying to destroy America, the president today took aim at NASCAR's only full-time black driver, Bubba Wallace. Has Bubba Wallace apologized to all those great NASCAR drivers and officials who came to his aid, stood by his side, and were willing to sacrifice everything for him, only to find out that the whole thing was just another hoax? The president tweeted. In fact, there was no hoax. A noose operating as a garage pull was found in Wallace's garage. An FBI investigation determined it had been placed there last year, long before Wallace was assigned to that garage. Wallace thanked the FBI for its quick investigation.
Why is the president even suggesting that Mr. Wallace should apologize?
Well, look, the FBI, as I noted, concluded that this was not a hate crime, and he believes it'd go a long way if Bubba came out and acknowledged that as well.
The president concluded his tweet on Bubba Wallace by calling out NASCAR's decision to ban the Confederate flag. That and flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever.
Does he think it was a mistake for NASCAR to ban it?
The president said he wasn't making a judgment one way or the other.
NASCAR's ratings are down because they banned the flag? That's what he said.
The president was noting the fact that in aggregate, this notion that NASCAR men and women who have gone and who are being demeaned and called racist and being accused in some venues of committing a hate crime against an individual, those allegations were just dead wrong.
NASCAR's ratings are actually up since they banned the Confederate flag last month. Today, in a statement, NASCAR says, quote, "It continues to stand tall with Bubba, our competitors, and everyone who makes our sport welcoming and inclusive for all racing fans." As for Bubba Wallace, today he called on people to put love over hate, tweeting, "Even when it's hate from the POTUS, love wins."
And so let's get right to John Carl with us live in Washington. And John, tonight, a close ally of the president is now defending Bubba Wallace.
David, Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the president's staunchest allies in the Senate, said flatly, "I don't think Bubba Wallace has anything to apologize for." He also is defending NASCAR's decision to ban the flag, calling it an image, the Confederate flag, calling it an image that divides us, and saying the Confederate flag is not a good way to grow your business. David?
All right, John Carl with us on a Monday. Thank you, John. There was an eruption of gun violence over the holiday. 100 shot in Chicago, New York, Atlanta and L.A., dozens killed, including young children caught in the crossfire, an 8-year-old in Atlanta. And that's where Steve Osunsami is tonight.
The numbers of American lives shattered by gunfire over the weekend are alarming. 77 people shot in Chicago. 14 of them died, including this 7-year-old. So many of the dead this weekend are black children. 11-year-old Devon McNeil was hit by a stray bullet on the way to a cookout in Washington, D.C., and in Atlanta, 8-year-old Sequoria Turner was killed by rounds of gunfire shot into a car.
My birthday. We ain't doing that thing.
Atlanta's mayor says the shooters were black and that it happened just outside this Wendy's parking lot where 27-year-old Rayshard Brooks was killed a month ago at the hands of a white police officer.
Enough is enough. Enough is enough.
The burned-down restaurant has become a memorial for peaceful protests, but ever since, a group of people with long guns have taken over the area and blocked roads. Police are searching for the child's killer, and today, finally moved in and took back the street.
We're fighting the enemy within when we are shooting each other up on our streets.
Police in New York and, frankly, across the country are arguing that the push for police reforms is making it harder for them to keep people safe, no matter their color.
They are afraid if they're making an arrest, that if their knee goes on the back of someone that they are fighting their life for, that they could be prosecuted.
As part of Georgia's declared state of emergency, the governor is calling up 1,000 troops to help local police. He explains that the peaceful protests have been hijacked by criminals. David.
All right, Steve, thank you. Tonight, Jeffrey Epstein's ex-girlfriend and alleged co-conspirator is now behind bars here in New York City. Ghislaine Maxwell has been extradited from New Hampshire, and what we've learned tonight. Here's Eva Pilgrim.
Ghislaine Maxwell, the alleged partner in crime of accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, today whisked from New Hampshire to this New York City jail to face charges for allegedly recruiting, grooming, and abusing teenage girls in the 1990s.
Maxwell played a critical role in helping Epstein to identify, befriend, and groom minor victims for abuse.
The British socialite first appearing in court remotely last week. ABC News has learned she wore an orange jumpsuit and seemed agitated. Epstein accuser Virginia Giuffre telling 60 Minutes Australia she hopes Maxwell will implicate others.
I really hope she comes forward and says A, B, C, D, E was involved. This is how it ran. You know, just help us victims get some accountability.
The new case does not include Giuffre's claims that Maxwell and Epstein trafficked her to Prince Andrew three times, starting when she was 17. Encounters the prince denied in this interview with the BBC.
I have no recollection of ever meeting this lady.
Maxwell's friendship with Prince Andrew dates back decades. This newly surfaced photo from 2002 shows Ghislaine sitting on the throne with actor Kevin Spacey during a tour Andrew reportedly arranged at Buckingham Palace. Prosecutors still want to talk to Prince Andrew, but say he's been uncooperative.
Prince Andrew should be panicking at the moment. Because Ghislaine doesn't really care about anyone else but Ghislaine.
As for Maxwell, she has long denied any involvement in Epstein's alleged trafficking of girls. Eva Pilgrim, ABC News, New York.
Eva, thank you. Now to the family of that Army soldier, Vanessa Guillen, who went missing from Fort Hood, saying the Army has officially identified her remains now. And it comes as a suspect in the case appeared in federal court. Here's Stephanie Ramos.
Today, the suspect accused of helping the killer of Fort Hood Army soldier Vanessa Guillen facing a judge in Texas. Cecily Aguilar charged with conspiracy to tamper with evidence. Authorities alleging she admitted to helping her boyfriend, Aaron Robinson, dismember Guillen's body with a machete-type knife in April. After she says Robinson told her he'd bludgeoned Guillen with a hammer, she did not enter a plea.
How this happened at work, at the base, with thousands of people there, I think this will haunt everyone forever.
Tonight, an updated complaint with new disturbing details. Aguilar allegedly telling the FBI she and Robinson went back to where they disposed of Guillen's body to continue the process of breaking down the remains. Aguilar eventually cooperating with investigators, calling Robinson as they listened in. Robinson telling her, baby, they found pieces. The FBI saying Robinson killed himself Wednesday as they closed in on him.
A lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is under fire right now for comments that she posted online about sexual harassment and Vanessa Guillen's disappearance case. Her name is Betsy Scholler, also a retired National Guard colonel. She says she was, quote, giving a voice to the messaging women here when they are trying to enlist in the military. In a statement released by the school today, she says she is shocked that her post was taken out of context. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos tonight. Stephanie, thank you. That new book by President Trump's niece, Mary Trump, the president tried to block it, will go on sale now 2 weeks earlier than announced. Simon & Schuster now releasing Too Much and Never Enough on July 14th. It is the number one bestseller right now on Amazon. When we come back tonight, severe storms moving through the Northeast at this hour, and we remember a country music legend.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
We are tracking those severe storms at this hour. Time-lapse video, look at this, showing giant storm clouds plunging New York City into darkness late today. This was really something. Dangerous thunderstorms for Virginia all the way up to the Northeast tonight. Winds gusting up to 70 miles per hour. So check your local forecast on your ABC station. Country singer Charlie Daniels has died.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal.
His hit song, Devil Went Down to Georgia, inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2016, and he was 83. Finally, the Broadway star and the fight we followed for months. 41-year-old Nick Cordero was a husband, a father, a Tony-nominated Broadway star. Take nobody's business if I do. Cordero went to the ER March 30th. He was diagnosed with COVID-19, and after a 95-day battle, his wife, Amanda Klutz, shared this image of Cordero on Sunday. She said, God has another angel in heaven. He was surrounded in love by his family, singing and praying as he gently left this earth. Through it all, his family, his wife, and their one-year-old son, Elvis, would post updates dancing outside the hospital window.
Nick, Dada is awake! Yay!
Nick's family never giving up through his complications, his leg amputation. And tonight, his wife now sharing these images, sleeping in the hospital room, holding her husband's hand near the end. Her bracelet with the words, Live Your Life. It's the title of a song Cordero wrote.
Live your life.
Tonight, a young mother and wife in her new message, speaking of silver linings, asking how do you get through the hardest time in your life? Family. Nick Cordero and his devoted family. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.